Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Our God is a miracle-working God. He's a God of glory. He's a God of signs and wonders. And we come worshiping Him, honoring Him. It says in Psalm 95, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms." And there is no one besides Him. So the whole earth belongs to Him. But we have to, therefore, cover the whole earth. Shout joyfully to Him where there are no vacuums, no gaps. Let our shouts go from mountaintops to plains to distant seas. That's part of our commissioning. Last week, I began sharing just a little bit about our call, who we are. It says in it says, "Since you have tasted the goodness and kindness of the Lord," 1 Peter chapter 2, "come to Him, to the living stone which men tried and threw away, but which is the chosen and precious God in God's sight. Come and like living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house for a holy, dedicated, consecrated priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ." And then we talked last week a little. You are a chosen race. Chosen for what? Your destiny. We are chosen. And in this life, you have chosen role. God has chosen you because He revealed Jesus to you. You're going to manifest His glory, His signs and wonders. He wants to bless you. He wants to pour His glory into you. And then, as He pours Himself into you, to use you in a mighty way. So we are a chosen race. It means set apart for His holy purposes. Out of every tribe, every language, every people. A royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people. That is the people who have been washed in the blood of Jesus. The living community of Jesus Christ. That you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And this light we talk about is effulgence of His glory. And in that glory, then, where the glory manifested, you find in the Old Testament, as you talked about, in the temple was built as they dedicated it, as the glory filled the house. I mean, the thousands just were slayed before the Lord. They were under the power of God. The priests could not minister. What? Because the glory came. That's, we have been called out of darkness into this marvelous light. And this marvelous light does amazing things. So there is a combination of factors. I just want to touch tonight, because as we come into our role, then we affect the things around us. Tonight, we really felt the anointing of God was coming for us to declare freedom from opioid addictions that is, I mean, rampant like a plague across our nation. You know, some of the people get to go with me in some of the various different cities, whether it's Michael with Todd, sometimes it's Heather. But as Bonnie and I go, I mean, you know, 1 week I'm in Pennsylvania, you know, a couple of weeks later I'm in Phoenix, and a few weeks later there I'm in Michigan. But everywhere, and I mean, we are touching many nations. The Watch is going to many nations. I'm surprised how many come here and say, you know, last week we had a family. I don't know whether they are here. They were hoping to go. I think maybe coming Sunday morning, but they said they watch us. They are in Ireland, and they try to watch us, and their son watches. I think he's in his early 20s or so, but he never misses. This is Dublin, I believe it's Ireland, but I'll have to make it clear. But they came up and said, we watch you every week. I said, wow. So know that what we're doing here, many people are blessed by our gathering here. But in that then, we want to declare the glory of the Lamb of God. And even tonight, people who are watching, we are in agreement for deliverance. What I'm finding is that all across this nation, there is not, out of three or four families, there'll be one family at least that has been impacted, and their family, either their nephew, niece, someone is so devastated by addictions. If it's not methamphetamines, it's opioid addiction. Even last night I was with some people and said, sometimes I'm aware of some things that I cannot pastorally share specifics, but a quite well-known, famous author, her spouse, she's well-known, and found, I mean, it's devastated the family because she found the husband is addicted to opiates. And sometimes you have to stay away from it because it's so oppressive, but it's to see the pain right now that many, multiple thousands of families, the governor from New Hampshire or Vermont? Yeah. He declared in the State of the State message, I believe in January, beginning of this year, that the number one problem in Vermont, the state of Vermont, was not jobs, unemployment, or lack of education. The number one problem for the state of Vermont is addiction. It's at every level, educated, uneducated. We have rich, poor, they have been devastated. Anyway, I find that however much, and we want to encourage any kind of instrument that can help bring relief and release. But the most they can do is go out, get the ones who are spreading the drugs or marketing the drugs. We want to go after the spirit of addiction because it is a demonic oppression. And people are driven, just like they were driven to alcohol and driven to do just dark, perverted deeds. All of it, it is, we know who the enemy is. Our battle, it says, is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against wickedness in high places. You find in Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, said they met Jesus, two possessed with demons. And I've said many times that I talk about deliverance, that the correct word would be more oppressed rather than possessed, coming out of the tombs, because they are not necessarily, their spirit is not possessed, it's their complete possessed, the physically, emotionally, in their soul realm, the demonic has taken over. And he said, Jesus said unto them, the demon oppressed, go, and when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And as unapologetically, we want to declare that Jesus is Lord, and every knee bows and every tongue confesses Jesus is Lord. And in that then, that as we lift up Jesus, that is, and that is part of our essential job, is to worship the Lamb of God, to lift up Jesus. But as Jesus is lifted up, his light, his glory starts spreading to every family, every person in need. And I remember there were just several incidents. I mean, we have had so many hundreds of examples of deliverance from different kinds of oppression. I'll never forget. This was, Bonnie was with me in the Congo, and they would bring, we have videos of some of these things, and we need to bring them up sometimes and show some of the snippets to get, give people the idea. And but I would lay hands on about 5,000-7,000 people sometimes. One time it was literally from about 8 o'clock in the morning till 7 at night. I was laying hands, and I laid hands on more than 20,000 people. And so Bonnie was with me in this thing, and in the field there were several families among the people who are on stretchers and all of that, but there were people who had brought their family members who were in chains. That the best, I mean, they don't have, in some of the parts of the Africa, they don't have institutions where we would say, okay, well, put them in the institution, let them get medicated and do all of this. And those medications are just to keep them, try to keep them calm and all that. They don't harm others, they don't harm themselves. But it's not the solution. The deliverance is not there. It's just, you know, the best human way that they can deal with the situation. But I remember that we had families, and one of them I remember that they brought their family member in chains. And she had been chains for how many, 17 years? Something like that. It's, you know, this is quite a number of years ago. And so, and it was, she was completely taken over, and she would, if she was freed up, she would run and go and stab people and try to kill, scream. If she, you don't want her to be near knives. She had been gotten free a few days before and gone and stabbed some people in the neighborhood. And so they would bring her home and lock her, or and then if they could, they would just chain them to a post outside. That's the poor African way of handling that thing. And I remember going up to this young, she was still about in her late 30s, something like that. And the moment she saw me, she started screaming. I said, I'm not that bad looking. Anyway, but the demon recognized the authority of the Lord. And she, this is a funny scene, she ran, her legs were free, even though she was bound up. And she ran from me as fast as she could. And I ran after her. I mean, it was something to behold on those fields. I mean, there were thousands of people and everything and anything could happen. And I ran after her, and after me, Bonnie was running with her camera. She was the chief camera person. And I finally, at that time, I was a little bit more agile, and I was able to catch up with her and just tap her. And the moment I tapped her on the head, she went, flipped several times and fell on the floor unconscious, and they took the chains off, and she was normal. Her eyes were not rolling up and screaming. She was not screaming, all of that. And she was, it looked like she was fine. So the family, of all things, we happened to be going to that neighborhood in the Congo. This was in the city of Kinshasa. And so we visited this family. They invited us to come and have coffee or tea, whatever. I forget now. Huh?
I was just going to remind you, what happened is you touched her. She went flying. And then you went right back to the line to start praying for people again. And I was following you, and there was a bunch of the local pastors that were there to help us. And so we were all moving along the line as you were praying for people. And at the same time, we had a testimony stand set up. And so as people were being healed, because there were hundreds and hundreds of people, as people were being healed, they were going up and giving their testimony. And Mahesh was continuing to pray for people. So all of a sudden, there was this huge, wow, the crowd clapping and all excited. And I looked up, and she was wearing red, if you remember, had on a red shirt. And I looked up on the testimony stand to see what was happening. And there was that woman that had been completely out of her mind, oppressed by demons and in chains for years and years and years. And she was standing on the platform giving her, literally, just like the one in scripture, clothed in her right mind and giving her testimony about what had happened. And yes, the next day we went out to Makondo. Makondo is where it was. It was actually near the neighborhood of where Kachini's family was. And we went out to Makondo, and they took us out into the backyard of this family and showed us the tree where they had the chains and had her literally chained in the backyard like a dog for whole seasons of her life. And they brought her in. She came in and sat down with us there in the homes of one of the families there. And so we had tea together the next day with this woman that had been completely insane and oppressed for years and years and years.
And the reason Jesus came and said, the reason I mentioned that is that he came and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. Preach good news to the poor. And among the things he said was, and to set the captives free. And that's why it is absolutely, absolutely imperative, more than ever, that for the sake of the population around us, for the sake of desperately needy families across this nation and the nations of the world, to that God, that you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, to manifest the glory of Jesus Christ, that he who has called us out of darkness into his magnificent light. This is the glory light that delivers, that sets the captives free. And that was literally, that person was a captive. Now multiply that over and over and over. I remember in the early days of our ministry, and we would go as a young disciple. This would be around 1972, 73. So that's many years ago. But I was a young zealot, just had graduated from college. I was in graduate school and started traveling wherever Brother Derek Prince was. And it was the time of the charismatic outpouring, and we were experiencing the renewal of, as we believe in Jesus, but then also we believe, therefore Jesus says, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And that's what it means. Bonnie and I were witnesses of the glory of Jesus Christ and proclaimed the good news. Now here tonight, we are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ on the digital world and right here. And I am, that's why we are going to continue to sow into the kingdom of God, into the needs, desperate needs of nations out there, people who are oppressed. But in the early years, so there was a, and we need to invite him sometime to come be here, is my good buddy Jim Croft, and we were compadres together. And we would travel all over, especially the southwest of the United States, and help Derek Prince. But then also we would start where we would be invited to minister in these small certain places. What I remember so clearly at the as the visitation of the Holy Spirit came, the outpouring of the refreshing of the glory of Jesus in the outpouring. At the same time, some of you may remember that there was the whole hippie culture, and with the hippie culture was a lot of drugs, and drugs were promoted as was a major aspect of it. And it was more promotion of drugs than I think this nation had ever known before to the general populace. And the young people, kids will experiment with anything, and they started doing drugs. And so there were vast numbers of young people who were devastated by drug addiction. And there would be almost in every large city. God brought forth and anointed people to help these kind of kids. And then we had a big movement called Teen Challenge, if you'll remember. It was one of the ministries. And we ministered a lot with Teen Challenge. And basically what they carried was Holy Spirit deliverance into every situation. They were unapologetic of ministering the name of Jesus and helping set these captives free. And a lot of them were kids. So, and at that same time, the Holy Spirit would come in a mighty way over all of us. And so I remember one aspect of it was, like I mentioned last couple of weeks ago, I mean, the glory came over me, and I would sit up nights after working all day at the state school, I would read Bible dictionaries and Vine's Expositor. I loved it. I loved the Word of God. But at the same time, the glory came and we would be called to minister to these people who are oppressed. One of those scenes I'll remember so clearly as we talk about opioid addiction was we went to Arizona to some friends Jim knew who also ran a kind of like a teen challenge house, but it was not officially teen challenge. They had their own ministry, and hundreds of kids had been come. By kids, I mean teenagers, 17, 18, 19, and then many of them had become so addicted that the families could not handle them. So they would be out there in the streets or locked up, whatever, and come out of prison. Anyway, so there would be these houses, halfway houses, where the kids would recover and they would have church. And so there was numbers of ministries, I remember, who were just specifically, God gave them grace to minister to these kids. And Jim Croft and I were considered the guys who carried some of the best anointing in all of those states. So they would ask us to come for to share, to pray. And so they brought one of the worst cases, I remember, of this young girl. And she was one of the most, pardon me, but I mean, she was stunningly beautiful. And she was just 18 years old, long blonde hair. And you would say, wow, she has the whole future. This young girl could go to Hollywood and be a star. No, she was completely a victim of drugs. And she was a total, I mean, she was gone. And so I remember the demonic oppression was so strong over her that the demons would manifest. And Jim and I would describe some of these. You should see us get together and share some of these diaries of our experiences of what we saw in that realm. And so there were three men on one side, I remember, three men who held her down and then three other men. They were strong guys holding her down because she would struggle. The demons would cry out of her. And so we were the ones assigned for praying, and we prayed. I mean, and then the anointing kept growing more and more. But this was when we were apprentice, almost learning. And she looked at those, and these were big muscle men. They were holding her down. And she just looked, and we were saying, in Jesus' name, come out. And the demons came to the surface, and Jesus flipped her hand like this. And all three men went flying across this whole auditorium. I mean, whoo! This little tiny blonde girl threw three men. And then she took her other hand, just went whoo! And the other three men just went flying. And what that was, I mean, see, she was oppressed in the demonic. That was evil, supernatural. I mean, there was something way beyond what we could. That was not normal. We saw that several times of very supernatural evil strength that would come for people who were oppressed. And we prayed late in the night. At that time, it was like we felt she was partly free, but not completely. So we went the next day, was sent the service that all the kids had to attend. And we were, I think it was Sunday morning, I believe. And way at the back, we started hearing the most glorious singing. And we turn around, and there was this little blonde girl. And while we were worshiping, the glory fell on her, and she was completely set free. I mean, every demon left her. And I can keep you going with different stories after story of people who were, there was no answer in the natural. And we have seen people like, I got a letter in a file, of a man thanking me, who I had visited England 30 years ago. And when I visited that church, he had been institutionalized and he had been schizophrenic. And as he came to our service, he got completely delivered from schizophrenia. And 30 years later, he wrote to me saying, just want you to know, I am still doing great. I remember the day I got completely set free from schizophrenia. And we have seen it again and again. Another time, I remember in London, England, that this family, this was a completely Hindu family, and her heard a holy man is coming from America who has got an Indian background. And for them, it's in from a different cultural perspective. But they had their eldest brother had been institutionalized and had been there 19 years. And from time to time, they would let them come home, him home for a day or so. But he was in a British institution, mental institution. And so they excused him, brought him under their family supervision to my service. It was in Westminster in London, where Billy Graham has ministered and others. So they brought me in there. And the family, they're so sweet and sincere, and they said, our brother has been institutional, mental institutional for 19 years. And we brought him out for you to bless. And inside, I mean, I looked at that man. He was in his 40s. And I looked at his eyes, and I know there was nobody there. He's gone. He's bye-bye. He was in another la-la land. And I thought, I looked at the family and inside. This is honest. I said, you must be crazy too. You just checked him out of an institution to bring him to, quote, holy man, to bless him. And I said, I don't know. I don't have that much time to pray for him. I don't know. And I was myself saying, 19 years, institution, you bring him one night. And you know what? Right that moment, the glory came and delivered that guy right there instantly. And I just want you to know that we are, and I'm seeing the certain waves and manifestations of things happening, and the Lord reminding me, and then the glory has been coming these last few months in such a way that we have not even begun to see the great days of deliverance, that they are at hand. And I want to proclaim that the name of our God, his name is Jesus, and every knee bows and every tongue confesses Jesus is Lord. And we, as we bow, on one hand, every demon has to bow. It cannot stay, because that precious blonde lady, that precious elder brother from that Hindu family, that Jesus came for his salvation, his deliverance, and he has come to set the captives free. And in that context, then, I want to say, you are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, we have been delivered, we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, but we are carriers of the light. And so may God commission us, may Holy Spirit commission his church afresh. May this addiction and the whole plague stop. But the antidote for this wave of horrible addiction that's going across our nation, that this is going to be confronted. Thank God for people, nurses and doctors, and the little bit of bandages and band-aids they put on people by prescribing them this drug and that drug. But that's not going to be the answer. The answer is be free in the name of Jesus. And then you see lives turn around. And those precious people serving the Lord Jesus. There is, as you see this addiction, then something should rise up in us, which is the spirit of the lion of the tribe of Judah, saying, Jesus is going to roar. That we have the roar of the lion, and every demon is going to be gone. At the same time, God is calling us to that we continue to get stronger and stronger by being worshipers and intercessors. Last night, I had a time to spend with some others, with our senior Annas, the ones who shared that scripture from the last night with these Annas, that of how in the Bible we read that it says, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow for about 84 years. We departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spoke of him to all of them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And she is the one who is able to recognize the coming of the Messiah. And God wants to raise up the Simeons and the Annas, who will spend day and night. Just amazing story of Anna, daughter of Phanuel, from the tribe of Asher. God says, each of you is important. Here was this person from the tribe of Asher, and her daddy was name was so-and-so. But what did she do? She was simply she was widowed at the age of 24 or so. And then from that time on, she spent the next 60 years at the age of 84. There she is in the house of the Lord, in the house of prayer and worship, recognizing and ushering in the Messiah. And she was a chosen vessel. Now I believe there is a great visitation that's about to loose. When you see there is scripture, of course, that when the enemy comes like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. And so it is when we see this, we should not in any way be defined by it, but be saying, we are the representatives and ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are ordained to set the captives free. But undergirding all of this are the army of Annas and Marys and Simeons who have faithfully spent their time in the house of God, in the house of prayer, day after day, worshiping the living God. And so this is as important, what we do tonight, that you are carrying out, you strengthen the welcoming committee for the Holy Spirit to come. Say, come, Lord. Come, Lord. And that is part of, it's so important that we do this. And I believe that I feel in some ways sorry for those who are missing the days of visitation and Holy Spirit, the ways that these are, you are the ones who are in the books of the Lord, that you were there to help bring in the glory cloud that's going to set millions of captives free. So it is important that God, he is wanting us, that his heart that is that we fulfill part of our calling as royal priesthood. It says in John 4:23, Jesus said, this is about true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father God is seeking such to worship him. People say, I want to do the will of the Father. Well, the will of the Father is worship me. And in fact, he is seeking worshipers. Worship me. And God, it's amazing. What blesses God? Worship. And that's he's seeking worshipers. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to see whose heart is loyal to him. So our first loyalty is to Heavenly Father. And from eternity to eternity, that's going to be our scenario that he established. It says in Revelation, they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy, O Lord." And I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb." And every creature which is in heaven and on earth, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." The more, therefore, we worship him and magnifying him, saying, "Worthy is the Lord," the more we enunciate the worship, we are creating an atmosphere where he can, therefore, he can manifest blessing and honor and glory and power to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And so the Lord has established in around his throne, even worship is the main thing that happens around his throne. And we cry, "Worthy is the Lamb of God." In the all the corruption we see and all the confusion in the world right now and all the darkness, that God is calling forth the royal priesthood to declare his glory and say, "You are worthy, Lord." And then we are going to see more, I believe, the manifestation of his glory, to see the Annas and the Simeons are so absolutely necessary for the ushering in of the ministry of the Messiah, that the healings and the miracles and the signs and the wonders are there and at hand, and we're going to see more of them. That the wonderful thing I want to encourage you with is that right here over this last few months, we have seen testimony after testimony of the awesome things God is doing in our midst, and there are going to be more signs and more wonders, and it's a company of people who are preparing this atmosphere through worship and praise and prayer. It says in 2 Chronicles 29, I just want to refer to that. One of my favorites, 2 Chronicles, where the glory shows up and zaps people in mighty ways. Second Chronicles, hallelujah. Well, I'm kidding. I've got so many scripture references here that that's one of the troubles of having so many versions of the Bible. Then Hezekiah rose early, gathered the rulers of the house, went up to the house of the Lord, and they brought seven bulls, seven rams, that covered the altars with the blood, sprinkled the blood on the altar, and the priests offered them. And he stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with string instruments, with harps, according to the commandment of David, of Gad, the king of Seir, and of Nathan the prophet. For thus was the command of the Lord by his prophets. So some of the priorities in the house of the Lord was they set up the praisers and the worshipers to create that atmosphere where the glory would manifest. And I really sense as I talked and the Lord put my attention to the Annas that it is so, we do not see the absolute essentiality of this. If we want to see the nation blessed and come back, our nation is in so many ways that the demon spirits are there, and then suddenly God is manifesting his glory. We are in a really exciting prophetic hour. I want you to know, I'm sensing the fire is falling, and I'm seeing that in so many different places. The fire is falling and is about to fall, as we have seldom seen it. And so I want to invest my time declaring the glory of the Lamb of God. And this is a very, very special hour, that the more we invest in praise and worship and prayer and thanksgiving, the more we're going to see the deliverances be manifested. And one of the things I wanted to, as we worship, I felt like God was telling us to worship the Lamb of God and talk about his goodness. I wanted to rehearse, and some of you, as we pray, I wanted to declare the worthiness of the Lord, let you know just that it is time for us to take the word and release it and praise him and say, you are worthy, Lord, in different ways, that from different voices, that you will I started hearing the Lord. I mean, as I was talking about, thinking about the scenario before the throne, that I could hear the angels and the saints who have gone on crying, worthy is the Lamb, and there was just awesome worship. And as it went on, the power was coming forth from the throne of God in waves and waves of glory. And I started exalting the virtue of the name of Jesus and saying, Lord, you are worthy, and your name is, and I've done, I mean, just certain things. I just started worshiping. Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who is providing and will provide us with the anointing that we need to set the captives free. I appreciate, and tonight, if you know of people who have, you know, people who have sent in their prayer request of people who are addicted, or you know family members or nephews, nieces, and those watching us, send us in the over the next few weeks, send us your names of people you know, or family names of the kids, young people or old people, who desperately need deliverance. Some may be taken over by spirits of perversion. Some by taken over by the addiction spirit. Some may be complete depression. Others are family members that are locked up with schizophrenia. Whatever it is, that I really believe that if there is a fresh wave of glory is at hand to set the captives free. Why is God rehearsing? Well, I was in Phoenix, 2 weeks ago, that a family waved at me and said, you remember, we were there when you were, one of the first times you came to Phoenix many years ago, and you say in this auditorium, it was a video church at that time, and I said, come Holy Spirit, and the lights all exploded, and electricity went off, and the transformer to the whole city block blew up. And this had been, the manifestations happened several times in different places in the world, in Brighton, England, in Kananga, in the Congo, other places where the waves of glory would come. There would be physical manifestations. And I am saying, Lord, you are welcome here. Welcome to Mecklenburg County and to South Carolina, North Carolina, you are welcome here. Let the waves of glory come. And in that then, may this be not only a healing center, but a deliverance center. That there are so many held captive. And I want you to, I mean, you won't believe what the Lord can do. It makes me also just laugh and joy in the sense that in the most impossible situations, I would laugh at the ridiculousness of a situation that I've said, no, thank you. You put me in these weirdest places, and then the miracle would happen. And I knew it was not in any way my exercising faith, because I had almost no faith in this. It was just God's mercy coming, boom, and giving us the breakthrough. But let His glory, waves of glory come, because He is. And the more we exalt Him, He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who is providing. He is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner of victory. You know that it's when it says that in warfare, when people, armies would go out to battle, they would have their flag in front of them, as some of you know, representing, the flag of the nation represents the spirit and the power of that nation. And when Israel fought, God went before them. That was, their banner was the living God. And He said, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. And as it is true of Israel, it is true for you that He is. Exodus 17:15 is the Moses built an altar and called it the Lord is my banner. It is really the full meaning is the Lord is my banner of victory. So we want to come into possession of all of these. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Your name is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who is providing. Your name is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner of victory. We go, as we go march wherever or wherever you are, that He is giving the victory in the most impossible situation when others say, this is impossible. We have seen it over and over. Stage 4 cancers are gone. And I'm saying, praise God. And even tonight, the glory is there. I'm declaring for some other family right now, where whether it's a mistake or what, but sometimes, there's, of course, people get into themselves. If I had lived like this and lived like this, the cancer would not have come. Let's forget about it. Right now, let the Lord be your banner of victory. And He gives you deliverance and healing. Or whatever, if your son needs a job, the Lord is the banner of victory. If your daughter needs help in her marriage, the Lord is the banner of victory. And of course, He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. I'm just wanted to exalt and say, worthy is the Lamb of God. And if you want, you know, as we pray, just make declarations how the Lord is so mighty, so awesome. And in this we focused a little, this week on the addiction as one of the big focuses. But whether it's you need provision for your house or provision for a job, the Lord is my shepherd. We shall lack for nothing. We shall not want. And the Lord is my provision in Jesus' name. And He is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is present. And the name of the city from that time will be the Lord is there. Ezekiel 48:35, the Lord is there. Say, the Lord is there. I want that to be one of our names. The Lord is there in your home, in my home, our ministry, over this church. The Lord is there. Say, the Lord is there. And the other name of God, Jehovah Roi, which is the Lord, is our shepherd. We shall not lack for anything. He is Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. He is Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. And let that peace come on Israel. Let that peace come over every family, over every marriage that's in any kind of tension. The Lord is there. And the Lord is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. And Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord, the captain of the armies of God. It's all of this comes together to manifest his glory in deliverance, in healing, in restoration. So, praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord is there. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. I want you guys to come up and let's worship the Lord and exalt his name tonight, and let that deliverance come to any house and every house, and let the provision of God, the Lord is providing, and the Lord is healing. He is Rohi, the Lord, our shepherd. I shall lack for nothing. And we are here as royal priesthood, exercising authority and our priestly role of intercession in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Manifest more. The Holy Spirit, come, we welcome you in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Amen. What are we going to sing?
We're going to sing Awesome. Our God is awesome.
Awesome. Amen. Well, some of you, I think we need to come around the altar, if you don't mind, and declare our Lord is awesome. And then people who are watching or families who need help, as we declare, let's claim victory and breakthrough.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.